Science can't explain everything. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Thank you for joining me, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Sit back, grab yourself some popcorn, and let's get started.
Be careful what you whisper.
Please welcome to my show this evening a returning guest, Cheryl Lynn Carter.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
We have a special guest this evening, Cheryl Lynn Carter. Cheryl is a psychic medium, remote viewer, and member of Project Psi, which is a team of psychic and forensic remote viewers responsible for rescuing missing children, assisting with shutting down human trafficking rings, and closing cold case murders. To date, they have rescued more than 500 children, closed 18 cold cases, and assisted in shutting down 12 human trafficking rings. At the age of 4, Cheryl had her first paranormal experience while visiting her aunt's farm. Soon, she realized she had a unique sixth sense and was able to interact with those on the other side. This had a profound effect on her, instilling a sense of purpose, and throughout the years, she has maintained a vision of pursuing several adventures and avenues, such as writer, photographer, researcher, and explorer, in order to share their stories with the world. Cheryl has traveled and down a path of the unknown where many are just simply waiting to be heard and longing to be remembered. She has investigated structures and subtle undertones and artistic renderings that beg to be understood. Through writing and photos, she expresses their messages for all to be heard. As an explorer of ufology, Cheryl is a member of MUFON and CE5. She is a consultant for Thomas Conwell's book, They Are Here, Central U.S. UFOs. Cheryl is a freelance journalist writing for Paranormal Underground magazine and Body Spirit Guide. In addition, she is an author of several books, including Dimensions, Mysterious Triangles of the U.S., co-author of Digging into Skinwalker Ranch, and Skinwalker Ranch, The Basin Files. Please welcome to my show tonight, Cheryl Lynn Carter. Well, good evening, Cheryl, and thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me back.
Yes, we are having Cheryl back. It's been a while, and I have really kind of curious here about what she's been up to, and because she is very involved in a lot of investigation work, and so I think we're gonna have a good conversation tonight. And also, Cheryl has a new book out, and I want to make sure that we talk a little bit about that, and she can highlight some of those chapters for us. But for those of you who are meeting her for the very first time, we do need to reestablish that foundation, because it's important for people to know where she has been, where she's at now, and kind of the things that she's delving into. So, Cheryl, let's start from the beginning, of course. How old were you when you either first started having any kind of experiences or you became aware of stuff happening around you? Let's start there.
I would say when I was 4 years old was when I had my first paranormal experience. And I was actually on my aunt's farm. And I was upstairs in by the attic. And I went behind some old trunks just snooping around like little kids do. And there was a little boy about my age standing there. And I thought that was very strange because I didn't think my aunt had any little boys up in her attic. And I looked closer, and it was even stranger because I could see right through him. I could see the wall behind him. And I reached over to look at him, and he reached his hand out to touch me, and it was cold, and I ran all the way down the stairs. And I never told anybody about that for a long time.
He didn't speak, though, did he? Did he say anything to you at all?
He might have, I don't know. He tried to grab my hand and I ran. I don't know if he was going to talk or not.
That's interesting about grabbing of the hand. Well, and it's even more interesting about being able to actually see right through him and
Yeah.
the wall and
Yeah,
stuff like that.
you're 4 years old. You don't understand that. You know how you see through a person.
Yeah, no, not at that age. I mean, at that age, you're just now, getting to the point where you're now starting to collect your experiences. You've, you know, many people have collected their experiences younger than that, but they don't always recall them. But at that age, you're now starting to have a little bit more recall about what is happening, around you and everything. So, did you say you did not, or did you? Ask about that little boy. What did you say? Your grandmother?
My
Yeah, your
aunt.
aunt. Okay.
Yeah. She's I probably didn't talk to my aunt about it for 25 years. I'm not kidding. I never mentioned there was a little boy up in the, no. Because I mean, who, first of all, who believes that you can talk to spirits and they talk to you? And I didn't know what she would think. And she goes, "Oh, really? That's interesting." You know, she wasn't shocked or anything like that. I'm surprised, you know.
Yeah, well, and the thing is sometimes they can go into denial, or they might know something, but they don't want to scare you from coming over there or being there. Any Did you ever go back up into that attic at any point in time?
No.
No?
I mean,
Okay.
I stayed there with my grandma. There's a bedroom next door. You know, we stayed in the bedroom, but I never went back in that room. And the little boy never came out of the room, which is kind of strange.
Oh, that's
Maybe
it.
he died in that room and he can't leave. I don't know. But he never left the room.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, because I would expect the kid to roam around the place a little bit if they were so inclined. That's interesting. Just
Never saw him
to
anywhere except in that room. He stayed in that room. So
interesting.
obviously that was his house a long time ago.
Yeah. And then as you grew older and you were going through your teen years and everything like that, did you discover any awakenings or further awakenings within yourself?
Well, I was always know things were going to happen before they happened, which I thought was, you know, kind of a coincidence. Okay, I just guessed that that was going to happen, but I did. I would know when the phone was going to ring before the phone rang. I would know somebody's going to knock on the door before they got there. It was really strange, and I says, okay, well, I guess these things happen to everybody, right? No. I never heard anybody else in high school talk about such things. Oh, I must be weird, you know. So I kept it to myself. I thought it was kind of cool, but nobody else talked about it. It wasn't until my senior year in high school that I met another girl, and she started talking about this stuff, and I said, ah, now I got a friend I can talk to about it.
Yeah, it's interesting how a lot of times we have to have somebody else open up the door before we might decide to say something. Or if we say something first, and that especially in school, kids are so mean and so critical that you get labeled immediately, then you almost get, I don't want to say alienated, but you can become isolated just based on the fact that you tried to share something that was happening in your life, you know? So would you say back in your day and my day, of course, that that religion or the religious our religious beliefs were relatively strong, like they kind of the idea of spirituality these days seems to be a little bit more open and a little bit more understanding because you see a lot of it, whether it's on TV or whether people are talking about it in different ways now. But back in my day, it was all religion. I mean, all the time. What was it like for you?
Yeah, same with me. And the thing is now when we talk about such things, there's some people that are very religious, and I talk about I'm seeing ghosts, and there's no such thing. And I said, well, who's the Holy Ghost then? I always like to throw that at them. Well, I said, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and some of them, a lot of people are on also, they believe that anything that it goes away or deviates away from a religious belief is nothing more than demonic. Have you run into that at all?
Sometimes, yes. They'll say, well, you know who you're talking to. You're talking to the devil. I said, no.
Yeah, not always, not always. And
I
so,
says you're I says you're talking to people who have died, and they have messages. Somebody's relatives, somebody's friends. These are not bad spirits.
yeah, and you can never convince a skeptic, right?
No, I
No.
don't try. I don't try.
I don't either, because it's pointless. It's something that unless they go through a very profound experience where they absolutely cannot explain it to themselves, it's just kind of like a pointless thing, you know? So, what kind of gifts over time, and does this stem back? Have you done research in your family to see if this stems back through your maternal or paternal side? What kind of gifts do you think you came into or have had that you are now recognizing for a long period of time?
I've always read that it is hereditary, and I know it's come through the maternal side. Now my mother completely denied it. She wanted nothing to do with it, but it can't skip a generation. So you know she had it. I know grandma had it, and I got it from great grandma, who got it from her father, who was a medicine man. So even though my mother denied it, she had it too.
And why do you think she denied it so much? My mother is the same way, by the way. We believe now that what I have also came through the maternal side. But the why do you think that she was so adamant about it?
I don't know if she like when I was doing my genealogy for the family tree, and I was asking her about things, and she said it's bad luck to talk about dead people. And that, I think I don't know, that was her thing.
Interesting.
And I go, why? I go, you're remembering them when you're talking about it. Why would that be bad luck?
No, something she may have learned back in her day. I don't know, maybe her religious upbringing. Maybe once again, it all goes back to talking with the devil or something along that lines. There's a very, very strong influence when people, and I'm not steering anyone away from religion here. I am religious myself.
I am too, yeah.
But the thing is that there are times when I do question things and I wonder, and it has a tendency to make you wonder a little bit about other things. So now, is it fair to say that you started out paranormally, or at least from that respect, you kind of delved into and then went into some aspects of UFO work and stuff like that. Talk a little bit about that for us.
Yeah, because I've been a paranormal investigator for years. I've investigated places all over the United States, a lot of famous places you've heard of. Had a lot of fun talking to a lot of spirits. And then one day I'm just driving down the street in our town, middle of the afternoon, and I look up into the clear blue sky, and the sky tore open, and I said, what? And this silver disc came out. And it just hovered there, not making a sound. And I'm looking around, and I'm going, look, nobody's looking. Was I the only one supposed to see it? Wasn't I supposed to see it? I don't know. But it's like everything around me just stood still. There was no sound everywhere. And then all of a sudden, it just went right back into the hole, and the hole sealed up. What the heck was that? Now, this is way before camera phones. So all I can do is tell you what happened. I can't show you. Because boy, I could have had a great picture right there. And
Maybe.
so that's what I, yeah, maybe, yeah, maybe if it would have let me. Because I don't know that I was supposed to see that.
Oh, or maybe you were supposed to see that.
Yeah. And so I says, okay. Years ago, my father used to bring magazines home from the factory where he worked, called Popular Mechanics, and at the back of the magazine there were stories about UFOs.
Oh.
And I was always interested in that when I was a kid. And then I remembered that and I said, you know, I think I want to join MUFON. So that's what I did. I joined the local MUFON chapter, which I love because you get there and people share their stories. Nobody judges you. And we also talk about Bigfoot. So now I'm getting into another. I like branching out into other things.
Okay. Well, hold your thought on Bigfoot for just a moment here. Okay. Back a little bit more about the, have you ever had, so it's interesting that you brought up that maybe you were not supposed to see this thing. On the contrary, maybe you were supposed to see this thing. And that was a moment. I've talked with a number of guests and one of them had said, maybe that was your, what she termed as your invitation to your awakening or your invitation to awareness. And so I don't know if you can look back on your life, even from this point going back, I can tell you from my position for me that things seem to be evolving. And so how are they evolving? Just about the time I have an experience with something and I say, all right, here's the answer. Here's the question and here's the answer to that. Then all of a sudden something else will happen. And then I change my mind or I rethink what I thought was an absolute. Have you changed your mind over time? And you're looking back at the various experiences that you've had and everything, and then bringing an invitation into your awareness or your awakening on certain aspects. Have you seen an evolvement here? What have you seen?
Absolutely. Like I says, I've investigated a lot of places, and we always think we're talking to spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, is that who we're really talking to? Do we really know? Or perhaps we're talking to interdimensional beings
mm-hmm.
that aren't spirits. Perhaps we're talking to aliens. Right. We don't know who we're talking to.
That's right, because we can't prove it. But we know we're talking to something. That's mm-hmm. That's the mm-hmm. one thing we do have a knowing about. Did you ever have an experience yet with a visitation by an extraterrestrial species or just in general? So you saw this craft, right? Was that the only time that you ever saw this craft, or did you ever see one again? And did you ever have any visitations?
That's the only craft I saw, but I've seen three times now that when I was going to work, it was like 7:30 in the morning, and the sun was behind me, so it wasn't the sun. There was this rod of light.
Yeah.
It wasn't solid. It was light up in the sky. And I said, well, what the heck's that?
Mm-hmm.
And here's me. I don't want to be late for work. I don't care where I'm going anymore. I'll be late. And I'm watching this light, and all of a sudden, it's at the 12 o'clock position. It started rotating to the 3 o'clock position. And I said, okay, now that's really crazy. And then I'm watching it. And then it slowly rotated back to 12 and then it turned off.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck was that?
Mm-hmm.
So then another time I see the light rod again in the same place, and over on the other side of the road, another one appeared. I said, okay, now we got two. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
The one on the left divided into two. The one started rotating to 3 o'clock the same time the one on my side did. They all went back to 12 and then they all turned off. I don't know what I was seeing.
Interesting. You don't suppose it was something metallic up there that was doing different kinds of rotations and causing a light refraction off of whatever it was?
No, there was nothing. It was clear blue sky. There was nothing there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see it just one time. It was different times. And I said, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you ever investigated in the evening time and watched for what we call these light masses or these light orbs that might show up? Have you ever seen anything like that yet?
Yes, because I'm part of a CE5 group, and we go out at night and do that. And yes, we use singing bowls, mm-hmm. trying to make some energy. And of course, the sounds attract things, and it does. I actually have pictures where it has attracted these light orbs. And I mean, they're huge, probably the size of a basketball. They're huge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What they are, I don't know.
Explain to people what a CE5 is.
It's Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. It's where you go out and you try to initiate contact with extraterrestrials. Now, I'm not saying that's what we made contact with when we saw these lights. Who knows? But it was.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't there before, because I was there before it got dark outside and I walked around the woods and there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yet we attracted something.
Now, when you say that they're like the size of, did you say like of basketballs? Is that what you're saying?
They were big, yes.
Okay, then how far away were they from you? Because even if you look up in the sky and you see something that looks like the size of a basketball, and keep in mind our distance issues here, do you suppose that what you saw was actually quite larger than that, but just from the distance away that you were at, that is kind of the size that you could describe it as? Or how close was it to you?
These weren't in the sky. These were on the ground by us.
Oh, on the ground.
Yes. We were, there's woods behind us, and they came out of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And because I could see, you know, how close we were, I said they had to be that big.
Mm-hmm.
In order for us, if it was just a small light, you wouldn't really see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've heard of these things before. I guess people term them as, these fairy lights. You know, you see these lights sometimes if you're in a very heavily wooded area and you see these little fairy lights dancing from mm-hmm. you know, tree to tree or going behind a tree or whatever. You know, I've heard of this before. And how many of these did you actually see when you were doing the CE5 work?
So I've seen fairy lights, and they're like fireflies. They're tiny. Mm-hmm. These were huge. These was not fairy lights.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was actually two of them.
Oh, two.
And it was like I was watching. It was like somebody turned on two big, giant flashlights. Just turned it on. And I'm watching. And again, I should have had the video going, but I did have my full spectrum, and I took pictures. And they started moving back and forth, exchanging, like they were dancing to the singing bowls.
Right.
Somehow they were reacting. Mm-hmm. And then the one kind of stretched up like this and came back down and made a ball again. And they kept going back and forth several times to the singing bowls. And as soon as he stopped playing it, somebody like turned the lights off.
Huh.
It was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Color, white, cream?
White. Real right. Bright white, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And how close would they get to you? Did they seem to keep their distance away from you? They wanted to be seen, but you know, I'm sure that they had their own parameter regarding wanting to get real close to you.
Yeah, they stayed right outside the woods there.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Very interesting. You know, I hear this so much in different places, especially, but that might bring us into a good segue here with Bigfoot. Did you say you're now getting a little bit more interested in wanting to potentially investigate Bigfoot cases?
Yes, because I believe that's real. I've been to many conferences, and one day I was actually, I thought I was doing a paranormal investigation. I went to this forest preserve. It used to be the property of an old hospital, and they donated all the land to the city. And I was going down one of the trails. I was looking for the old foundations,
mm-hmm.
and taking my recorder to see if I get any EVPs there from the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So as I'm going down this one trail, I looked, and there was like, I saw a strange structure, a tree structure. You heard about the tree structures.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept walking down the path. I actually found five different tree structures.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, okay, that's kind of strange. So I took photos. And when I went to Phenomicon, I showed the Expedition Bigfoot guys my pictures. And I said, what do you think? And Ronnie goes, oh, yeah, 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 you got something there. So I was kind of excited.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how many have you gone out a few times, or have you just started this adventure?
I've been out a few times. Mm-hmm. And I actually, when it warms up, I want to go back there and see if there's tree structures are still there, if there's any new ones.
Mm-hmm.
That same spot.
Now, when people are, of course, curious, because Bigfoot, by the way, has been sighted all over the United States and probably even some places of the world. But we always hear about it here in the United States because we do such heavy investigations on it here. So, and especially in some territories, you know, I was just at a conference in Bigfoot country, way up in Washington and in that whole area. That's very active up there with whatever. But also, I'm from Minnesota, and we have, and there's been reports that we do have a different looking Bigfoot up in northern Minnesota because we've got a heavy wooded area. But lately, some of them have decided to start coming down a little bit, which is seems to be a little bit of odd behavior. When you were doing your investigation on this, did this figure or whatever you might have had contact potentially with knock on trees, throw rocks? Did you get that really weird feeling inside? Well, how did you react internally?
I did hear knocking. I did. Actually heard knocking. Couldn't see anything, but no, I don't know how far away it was or anything. I did hear.
We always hear the stones being thrown.
No, I didn't have any stones thrown, but I heard the tree knocking.
Interesting.
And there was nobody there cutting trees down, so that's not what it was.
And how many people were with you at the time?
One.
One. Okay. That's usually the case. I mean, sometimes when you're in a group, you may not have, I don't know, based on the energies and stuff, it always seems to happen when a person's either isolated or the other person's turning and looking in another direction or whatever. But one of the things that seems significant too is that people report, and I don't know if you've seen anything, that usually if they see these balls of light, and they're usually notated as blue, that usually what that means is that there's a Bigfoot connection in the area or just about the point where the Bigfoot's going to go through some kind of a portal and disappear. Did you see anything like that?
No.
Okay. You probably need to go on a few more investigations, and eventually you may actually encounter some kind of light or lights. Like when you're talking about the CE5 experience, I was getting curious because you're talking about kind of like the tree line of the wooded area. And I'm like, okay, now are we talking possibility of a Bigfoot connection here or just a alien or extraterrestrial connection? Have you ever had any type of extraterrestrial visitation or connection? I mean, outside of that ball of light.
Yeah, this was, I don't know if it was alien or interdimensional. I'm still on the ballpark of this. But when I was writing a book, I did a remote view to Skinwalker Ranch. And it's like something followed me home, even though I was not there physically. And I'm sitting at the computer one day, and I saw on my left like a shadow figure. And I go, what the heck? And I looked, and I go, no, it's not a shadow figure. It's something standing in the shadows. Mm-hmm. And it had the almond-shaped eyes.
Okay.
And I go, okay, this is not human. I knew it was not human. But I felt it was interdimensional. But it had almond-shaped eyes. And who's to say that some extraterrestrials aren't interdimensional? We think they're all up in the sky.
Right.
Some are right here on Earth with us.
Right.
Right. And this, whatever it was, started downloading binary code in my head.
Oh, really?
And I go, no, don't do that. It's okay. Don't be afraid. It's okay. So I don't know what it means. I don't feel really enlightened, but I have something.
How, when someone, I mean, this download stuff, I refer to my own experiences sometimes as channeling. Do you think that you're being channeled by this thing to know some information that, they wanted you to reveal? I think we should explain at this point some of the types of things that Cheryl does. And I refer to you as kind of like a writer. I don't know if you'd call yourself a journalist, but tell people a little bit about what you do, because when people, when things that are of this nature want to make that type of contact with an individual, and especially if they want to download something significant, they're downloading it to somebody that's going to relay this message in a way, whether it's like what we're doing right now or whether it's on paper, because they feel it's important. Go into that a little bit. What do you do, and why do you think that this information might have been important?
Well, I'm an author, and I am a freelance journalist for Paranormal Underground magazine. I have my own column every month, The Carter Files. Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And I'm a psychic medium and a remote viewer. I work on missing person cases. So, yes, I do get messages from all kinds of spirits and entities. And I do believe that I'm being visited, and I speak to interdimensionals and aliens. I believe that.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of messages do they want to tell you?
The what? Interdimensionals?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know what this is about the binary code, like it was so important. And I said, okay. So then when I went to Phenomicon, not this year, I went last year, and my friend took me up to the stop sign by Skinwalker Ranch, and we get out, and the same voice that was talking to me said, pick up that rock.
Huh.
And I start laughing, and my friend says, what? And I said, the voice told me to pick up that rock. I says, we're on a gravel road. I go, real comedian. So I picked up a rock. And it was kind of an oval-shaped one. It was flat. And I said, that was kind of interesting. So I picked it up, and the voice said, not that one. And I go, oh, you're so funny. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'll put it in my pocket. I'll give it to my friend. So I found another one. I picked it up, and the voice said, that one. Mm-hmm. And then they said, the binary code has been activated. Okay. Oh, good for me. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what did. Okay. So now I'm holding this rock, and it's vibrating in my hand.
Oh, no kidding.
It's vibrating in my hand. So I get back home, and I take out my tri-field meter, and I go out on the driveway where there's no interference, and I turn the tri-field meter on by this rock, mm-hmm. and it registers 4 on the tri-field meter. Now, it's a rock. And the interesting part, when I went to Phenomicon this year, I had already told Eric Bard about it,
mm-hmm.
and we're sitting out there on the side, in a side room, and I says, yeah, I got the rock. I want you to see this rock, you know. So I pulled it out, and I told him the story, and he goes, oh, okay. And I says, and the weird part was that, you know, my tri-field meter, it gets a reading. And Eric says, really? And he had his briefcase there, and he reaches over and pulls a tri-field out of his briefcase, because I guess Eric always carries a tri-field with him. It was kind of funny. And he put the rock on the table, and he held his tri-field, and it did it. And he goes, well, isn't that interesting? So there I had Eric Barden. He didn't know what to say about this rock.
Did you say he actually got a reading off of it as well?
Just like I did, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, he was baffled. He goes, wow. And it's got all these little speckles all over it, little red speckles.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I says, yeah, I see these little speckles. I don't know what's in there, if that's what's, you know, giving it energy. And he says, they look like garnet. And then he goes, what the heck? He goes, I never say garnet. Where'd that word come from? Where'd that come out of my brain? And he's baffled. Why did I say that? And I says, well, they look garnet. I says that because it looks like this garnet ring I have. You have a garnet ring? I mean, we had the craziest conversation. I says, and I don't know why I was supposed to pick up this rock. And he says, because you were supposed to give it to me.
Oh,
okay,
no.
So that was a strange conversation. It still didn't get me anywhere.
Mm-hmm. You didn't give him the rock, did you?
Oh, no, it's my rock. But I had to give it to him to hold.
Yeah.
And he says, but, you know, it'd be interesting if you could kind of get a photo of the rock and look at all those dots and see if they line up with any kind of constellation in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm working on right now, to see if I can
do that.
I think that's got some kind of meaning. I don't know.
But we need to explain something to our new listeners and also our watchers. I met Cheryl at the Phenomicon conference a couple of years ago, and both she and I had the privilege of interviewing the Skinwalker Ranch cast members in a private breakfast, and it was a very interesting experience. So she and I both have had the opportunity to probably speak, you more so than me, speak with each of the Skinwalker Ranch gentlemen, especially about some of their experiences that they were able to share. And I need to preface that because there's things that they can't share because they're under contract, but that they're able to share. So when she mentions Eric Bard, I also spoke briefly with Eric Bard, who is kind of termed to be on the show kind of the technology slash guru of all times in helping them to try to figure out or gain, get readings from and get measurements from certain aspects that happen on the ranch. So she was able to go back to Phenomicon this past year. I was not able to be there to see if anything had ultimately changed from the point where we were there before. So that goes into the next question. Now that you went back there, can you recall, as we have this talk, anything different or anything evolved or anything you can share about even your own experiences and with others about what's happening out in that area of Vernal, Utah?
Well, it says that the thing that really changed was I got to sit down and talk to Eric about this crazy rock, you know, and he was like really interested, you know, here we are with all these celebrities around and things to talk about. And I'm sitting there with Eric talking about a rock that I found in the driveway in front of their gate, you know, so I said, okay, well, that was interesting. And I did take a trip down to the actual gates this year. You know, I got to go touch the gates. Wow. Yeah.
Which did the announcement come out to you about standing back or something? I thought they had some kind of a message that if you got too close to the gates or attempted to go any, you know, even move the gates, that this voice or this thing would come over a loudspeaker telling you to back up. Did that come out, go off at
there's
all?
When you come down the road, there's a stop sign. That's where the warning is.
Okay.
That's where I picked up the rock, was by the stop sign, because you can't go further down the road to the actual gate. So they must have had that turned off the night they drove the van up, because I didn't hear it when we drove by there.
Oh, were you with a group of people?
Yeah.
Okay. So she was with a group of people, and this will help people understand how she was able to get that close to the gate without that that voice or that announcement coming off, because they're pretty serious there. I mean, Cheryl and I both have had this conversation about, you know, that place is like Fort Knox.
Yeah. No, you have to pay for this. You had to pay to get on this van to go down there, and you were maybe stood there 10-15 minutes. You didn't get to stand there very long. Mm-hmm. And then they took us down the road and we went to the other gate, you know, and they showed us the mesa and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And again, about 15 minutes. You didn't spend a lot of time, but you did get to get closer to the ranch.
Did anyone report to you any kind of, because that whole area, and I wrote an article on this, or a little bit on this. I focused in on the aspect of the children of the basin, but there's quite a large radius, even around Skinwalker Ranch, that's very, very peculiarly, I don't want to use the word haunted, but it's got some weird stuff going on there all the time. People report this stuff even outside of Skinwalker Ranch. Did anyone report to you, or did you have experiences while you were there that you can share with us about what kinds of things people do go through?
Well, I actually went, when I was there, I actually got to go to an adjacent property that I don't want to mention. I went to an adjacent property with permission, and I got to investigate there. And you can actually, from their property, they're a little higher up, and you can actually look over the side, and you can see parts of Skinwalker Ranch below. And I got lots of EVPs as I'm walking around, and it was like there were spirits having a conversation about me. They were actually knew I was there. And I told you the crazy part at the end, I thought it was kind of windy, and I just thought it was lots of wind in my EVP, and I was going to throw it away, and I kept listening to it. I said, no, there's voices. Mm-hmm. So I'm listening, and I heard a younger woman and an older woman talking, and the one said, look, it's the skinwalker. And the woman goes, shh. And I haven't made out the rest of the EVP, so I don't know who they were talking about. I didn't see anything around me at the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And are you familiar at all with this? I was told when I was when I interviewed a couple gentlemen a year or so ago regarding there is a path and there's a trail. Are you aware that there's a trail that the skinwalkers actually walk on? And it's like 42 miles in length. They walk this trail. Then when they get to the end of it, they turn around and then they walk back. And sometimes people will actually have unusual encounters or interactions, or they'll see shapeshifters near or on this trail, which is just very weird. Did anyone ever mention anything about a trail out there, that the skinwalkers walk this trail constantly back and forth, but it's miles long and then they turn around? Nope, not at all.
No, but when I had to fly into Salt Lake City and then drive to Vernal, and it was a 3-hour drive down this 2-lane highway that just has big tanker trucks driving past you. And probably about the last half hour coming into town, It's very spooky at night, you know, because it's total darkness now, and you don't know what's around. It's kind of scary looking, and I never thought anything about it until I'm coming home, and I stopped at a gas station there, and the guy says, you know what this part of the highway is called? And I says, no. And he goes, it's called the Alien Highway. Oh. And I says, what are you talking about? He goes, well, we see UFOs here all the time.
Oh.
See, now you're not that far from Skinwalker Ranch. And I says, what? And so one time Caleb was actually talking about, he says, two of the deputies, there's one from each county, one was coming left, one was coming right, mm-hmm. and the one was driving, and all of a sudden this UFO was on the road in front of him.
Uh-huh.
And they're going, oh my gosh, and they're radioing, and then it was gone. And the radio, I mean, you won't believe what just happened. And the car coming from the other way said, yeah, it's here now. So I'm glad I didn't see that when I was driving in the dark.
Well, I drove in the dark there too, all those nights. And it's a very eerie,
creepy
feeling in that town. And I thought it was just because when you're not familiar with
that's
a town,
what I thought.
Yeah. And you know, did they say it in terms of being a craft, or did they term it and say it being like a ball of light or something like that flying in front of them? Did they indicate
like a saucer shape?
Like a saucer.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it was weird. So I went to my batteries, they die easily around there. My computer acted up really bad. It wanted to erase my entire, whatever it was, wanted to erase my entire computer system, which was very strange because I've never had that before since now. And just to preface a different situation, I was recently in on a haunted tour of a house, and I was standing in the middle of this room that's highly active, and I was trying to press the record button, and just as I did that, this, I've never heard it ever before, I don't even know where it came from, it came out of nowhere and said, I'm sorry, but your memory is absolutely, you know, it's full, and I'm sorry, abort out of this. And it was just really crazy, and I had the same kind of weird stuff happen, but I was in the a place to get batteries one night, and the woman saw my patch or my phenomenon sticker on me, and she started telling me about something that just happened to them the night before. And it was where someone was at the register, and the front door opened up by itself, or actually something came through the front door, then the second door opened by itself as if something was coming into the store, but nothing ever came into the store. And she said it never malfunctions like that, you know, ever. It was just really weird. But I had a lot of crazy things. So what kinds of, did you encounter while you were there, other than EPPs and stuff like that, any crazy electronical things or anything else?
Well, one crazy thing I remember, I was actually at a store one night, and because it was summer, they had the doors propped open, and we're sitting in there talking, and we heard like a little girl, maybe 6 or 7, going outside laughing and giggling, and I said, what's a little kid doing outside at night, and I went to get up and look outside, and there was nobody there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we heard the giggling again. I said, what the heck? And they're just sitting there, and they go, yeah, it happens all the time. We always got spirits walking by talking. And, they thought nothing of it. It was just a normal thing in Vernal.
Yeah, very crazy. How about electrical? Like when that thing wanted to erase my entire hard drive, so what it did is I was just sitting there, and I was typing something just very simply. And then all of a sudden, something flashed up on my screen, and it said, in about whatever, are you sure you want to erase your entire hard drive? And I looked at it. I was absolutely just mortified. And I said, where did this message come from? And I'm like trying to find the no button, But I had a few electrical things happen. Did you have anything electrically happen as well? And they always report out there missing time. Did anyone talk at the conference this year, or that you remember or recall about missing time aspects out there?
No. I can believe that, though.
Yeah. Oh, I can. Because we were at, I went on this one tour, and we went down by a lake. And we were supposed to be watching just sky watching and in general to see if you could see. You can't see anything up there. There was actually too much light pollution that night. But one of the things they did tell us about was that where we were at this lake, it was kind of eerie.
I know what you're talking about. I can't think of the name of it.
Water Babies, and I can't remember the name of the lake.
Yeah.
And they'd say, once in a while, you'll stand out here and you'll hear something that sounds like a crying baby, as if a crying baby is like out near the water or whatever. And it's some kind of I don't know if it's a creature or a monster, or, some kind of a interdimensional type of thing, where it's trying to lure people to go into the water to investigate whether there's actually a crying baby in there or not. Mm-hmm. And they were saying to us, stay away from the water. But yet how interesting that they would have the restrooms down by the lake, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, stay away from the water. But, by the way, the restrooms are down by the lake. But
they also see UFOs going into the water and back out.
Yeah.
The tribal police have seen this, so it's not made up stuff.
Oh no, this is really happens. This was a Saturday night, and what was interesting is that it was a decent night. It would be considered lover's lane. I would definitely go and make out with some hot man down by this lake. Mm-hmm. There was like nobody out anywhere. Mm-hmm. It was so creepy. It's like, there is something going on around this town, because people just don't necessarily go out and engage after the lights go down. It's kind of weird. Did you notice that as well?
Yeah. That's why I thought when I heard the little girl outside laughing, well, what is this little girl doing out there all alone?
Yeah.
There was no little girl.
Yeah, it's very fascinating. Now, since you were at the conference and everything, did you pick up any tidbit or anything that they discussed this year that you can share on this program here?
Hmm.
Or from anybody else? Even not just the Skinwalker Ranch gentlemen. There's a number of celebrities that do go to this conference. And so they kind of come from different realms and different aspects of phenomena and stuff. Did you talk to anybody else then at the conference that you would say, yeah, that's a really cool story that you can share?
Well, my friend Mike Rickster was there. I've known him a long time ago. And he writes books about ancient places, structures, the pyramids and all that stuff. So that was interesting. And we were having great discussions, because that's going to be one of my my next book about the ancient structures and how they relate to the star systems.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did they come from the stars?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are they waiting for somebody to come back from the stars? Good question. So had quite a good discussion about things like that. That's something different to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which reminds me, you have a new book out. Put up your book for a moment, would you, Cheryl? All right, there she is. That's I love the picture, by the way, and chosen. What a beautiful, beautiful image there. Tell us a little bit about a chapter or two that you have in your book and some of the interesting points about it.
See, this is the funny part. Where'd you go?
I'm here. Just keep talking.
Okay, what happened? What the heck? I'm just talking about weird things. There goes.
Oh, well, can you hear me, Cheryl?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Usually, what's real interesting, and people know this of my show, is that sometimes when we talk or I ask specific questions or we get into things. Now, people will say, oh, it's the internet. No, not always. Not when you have coincidence after coincidence all the time. But, you know, isn't it interesting how I would ask you about an aspect about your book, and then all of a sudden it's like, bloop, and it's like, yeah, whatever. So
that's what I was going to tell you, because I was working on this book about the ancient places and how mm-hmm. they relate to the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up one morning and I'm thinking, no, you got to write this other book. You have to write Chosen. Something told me I have to write Chosen instead. Yeah. Yeah. Something told me.
So
was it something from another world telling me to write Chosen? I don't know.
Tell us a little bit about the background of your book, just to bring people in just a little bit so they can.
Yeah, this is all about people that have had UFO encounters and abductions. And we hear, you know, we hear their stories. And we go, okay, that happened, and life goes on as usual.
Mm-hmm.
But does it? No, it doesn't. Their lives are changed forever after this happens, but we never hear about that. So I wanted to put the human aspect into these stories. I wanted you to hear their stories. I wanted you to hear what happened to them after that, how their lives have changed. I found hypnotic regressions that they had, so now you learn more about the story than you didn't initially know about. You learn about government ties, things that government tried to cover up about what happened to them, where's my favorite one here? Rendlesham Forest. Okay, we've all heard of Rendlesham Forest. Probably want to beat that story to death. Well, I heard new things about Rendlesham Forest that I had never heard of. So when Sergeant Peniston went over and touched this craft that he found out in the forest there,
yep.
He received this binary code download.
Yep.
And when he got back to they're driving him back to the office, he found out that he had lost 45 minutes somehow. He doesn't know how that happened. Now he went back and he was filling out a report, and he never told them about the ship. He never told them about the binary code. He just wrote down, we saw these strange lights, we followed them, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, okay. So they start asking him. They had another session with him, and this guy in a dark suit was questioning him, a man in black.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? A guy in a dark suit. So first thing he said to him was, tell us about the binary code. Now, he didn't mention it. See, they had already known that he got binary code. What did they know? Who's this man in black? How did he know this? And they started asking him questions like that. So he kept saying, well, you know, I don't know this, you know. And so then he says, they gave me a shot in the arm with something to make me talk. They gave him sodium pentothal so that he would talk about this. And then he couldn't remember what he said. So then when he had his hypnotic regression, okay, now it's coming out that, like, he didn't remember the shot in the arm. He remembered it during the regression. And so the person doing the regression says, okay, so tell me about the binary code.
Hmm.
And he says, I can't. What do you mean I can't? No, it's not allowed. It's not allowed. What do you mean it's not? No, can't talk about it. Who said? They said. Who, the entities in the craft? No, them. Them who? In the office. Them in the office. And my ears ringing. Okay. Them in the office. And she says, who goes? The man in the suit. Can't talk about it. Well, what do you remember? A nursery rhyme? What nursery rhyme? Mary had a little lamb asleep for a ride of snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. They had inserted that into his brain so that he could not remember the binary code.
Huh.
Our government did that. Why? What did he get with his download? I find that fascinating.
You know what I find fascinating? Didn't you say that you also had a binary code download?
Yes.
And did it? My question is, how soon after you picked up that rock that you had this experience, or did the experience come before you picked up that rock?
It happened before the rock.
Before the rock.
Okay. The same person that was talking to me
mm-hmm.
told me to pick up the rock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was connected somehow.
Mm-hmm. And then my question too is, then you had Eric touched the rock.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say you felt it pulsating or vibrating?
Yes.
Did
yes.
he also feel it pulsate or vibrate?
Yes.
He did.
Yes.
Okay.
He didn't believe me. He goes, let me hold that. I go, sure, go ahead.
Yeah. And then it did for him too, right?
Yeah. And then he whipped out his tri-field because he didn't believe that either. And he goes, well, look at that. I go, I'm not making this up, really.
Mm-hmm. Did you say he wanted the rock?
No, I says, I still don't know why I was supposed to pick up this rock. And he says, because you were supposed to show it to me today.
Got it.
That doesn't make sense, though, right? I was supposed to show it to you.
Well, I don't know, because you know as well as I do, after meeting these guys who are knee deep in experimental work out there on Skinwalker Ranch, you know as well as I do that they might be, that might have spoken or said something to him that you're not aware of, you know.
I hope so, because I don't understand. And I says, but I liked what he says, if we can try to do something with the rock to highlight those little dots to see if they're constellations. I really want to see that now.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, because that's what my new book's going to be about, how different constellations meant something to the ancestors. Maybe this rock is going to tell us a story.
Well, that's the whole thing, isn't that? But isn't it interesting how that came to through you? Although I know you well enough to know that you are an exceptional journalist, and I also know you well enough to know that you're going to question, you know, I've got a questioning background, I got a law background, you're going to question things a little bit more than what most people
mm-hmm.
would. You just imagine if some kid was out there and they saw that rock and maybe it just appealed to them, so they picked it up, right? Mm-hmm. And then they brought it home. I guess the other question people are going to wonder right now is, having that rock in your possession at your home, has anything changed within your environment since bringing that rock into your home?
Just that I had to write this book, Chosen.
Uh-huh.
Nothing else has. Mm-hmm. And if this kid would have picked up the rock, would it mm-hmm. have vibrated to him or not? Or was that just for me?
That's what I'm getting at. Very interesting stuff here. Yeah. How many?
Yeah. And does this, if I find this constellation, is this going to help us with Skinwalker Ranch? I don't know.
Well, isn't it interesting how things go from one hand or one place to another? And it's been sitting there outside the gate or by the stop sign for how long?
Yeah.
Somebody who kicked it around when they shuffled their feet in that direction, and it kicked over here and kicked over there. And then here you come. and you're told, pick up the rock. Isn't that interesting?
It is.
Yeah, very fascinating. Well, I want you to tell people now that we, very interesting stuff, Cheryl. I'm glad to have had you back. Always evolving, always interesting, good chat. Tell people a little bit about how, what's that, now, by the time this airs, if you're at any events, you may be long gone, but the thing is where they can find you, how they can purchase, and mention the other books that you have too. Chosen's the newest release, but go back and also give some of the titles of your other books as well.
Yeah, the one before this I did, Dimensions, Mysterious Triangles of the U.S., mm-hmm. because we all heard of the Bermuda Triangle, but there are many triangles in the United States that are even more mysterious than the Bermuda Triangle, mm-hmm. especially the Lake Michigan Triangle, mm-hmm. that has more missing planes, ships, and people than the Bermuda Triangle. So there's a lot more to research, which I found quite interesting. Mm-hmm. I also co-authored two books about Skinwalker Ranch, digging into Skinwalker Ranch and the Basin Files. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote some scary books. They're like Stephen King books with short stories.
And all of these can be found on Amazon, correct?
Yes, Amazon. If you'd like a signed copy, I have them here at my house. I can sign one and mail it to you. Mm-hmm. I'm on Facebook, CherylLynnCarter.com is my website.
On behalf of the show today, thank you very much, Cheryl, for being on.
Thanks for having me back.